It's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Rakes, Justin Rakes, Alex Huff, and Braden Crowe.
Well, what is up, and welcome back to another slash final. Maybe the other one was final, and this is like the first of the offseason, depending on however you want to view it. Another episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. It's just the Average Bros tonight. We just coined that term. It's Justin and Jonathan. And hey, your name was in the intro. It only took us plus 19 weeks. 19 weeks, but you're in it. How'd it feel?
It was great. I loved it. Happy to finally be an Average Pro officially in the intro and outro. So
good stuff. Awesome. Right there. Shout out Ben Johnson for getting that taken care of for us. He had the original and the remake. So appreciate his hard work on that. But yeah, we're legit now. We got all four of us. Obviously, Braden and Alex aren't joining us tonight. They're getting a much needed break. And then we'll all hop back on here to hit the offseason running, whenever that may be, sometime after the Super Bowl. We're going to enjoy a little bit of football. But tonight, we're just going to kind of recap some of the things that stuck out to Justin and I. If you've been following us on Instagram at AverageProsFF, then you've been seeing some really great content and just top eight finishers and where they were drafted. It's always interesting to see because you always have outliers. And so we're going to talk about some of those outliers tonight. But this episode is also special because Justin and I are both getting to talk about fantasy football deep into the playoffs while both of our teams are actually still both in the playoffs. This probably isn't unique for Justin, but for me as a Lions fan, this is unheard of. I'm on cloud nine right now. So we would be remiss not to take this opportunity, since we've been given such a long leash here tonight, to talk about just some legitimacy as fans, because you got to be fans of the game before you're a fantasy football fan, I feel like. So how are you feeling about your Packers, man?
Yeah, no, you texted me and said you're feeling emotion or an emotion you never had before. So, man, I was so happy for you and all those Lions fans, many of whom for the first time in their life saw a playoff win. So yeah, that was great for y'all.
You are 32 years or younger and have been a Lions fan. That was your first playoff win.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's just insane. But yeah, NFC North rivalry, Packers versus Lions, kind of put aside until maybe we meet in the conference championship. Then it'll be back on. That would be wild. But that would be wild. Yeah, I am just loving this unexpected, you know, late January football from the Packers. We lost, the Lions blew us out the first time we played y'all, and then lost to, I think, the Broncos and then the Raiders. And it was just not looking good. I remember talking
2-7, right?
Something like that. I don't know exactly what it was, but maybe talking, we should just, tank and try to get a better draft pick. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, we could make the playoffs. Wait a second, we just won the wild card playoff round. And now it's like, we're playing with house money. Here we go, 49ers. Y'all better watch out. So it's exciting.
Yeah. What do you put like the odds of pulling off an upset against 49ers? I mean, no one's expecting, like, it's like, okay, you got the Cowboys, right? But the 49ers, like, that's a different animal, and kind of a little bit of the kryptonite to the Packers.
Yes, I was just gonna say, as much as the playoff kryptonite the Packers have been for the Cowboys, it is the inverse with the 49ers. They have, even with Aaron Rodgers, we couldn't even get over the hump. I'm giving it a 20% chance. Well,
okay, I like that.
That's what I'm settling in at. If the 20% chance, that Jordan Love is able to beat the 49ers, do something that Aaron Rodgers seemingly could not do in his career in the playoffs. Wow.
That would be insane.
I don't have words for that.
The Lions have to win at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. To match. But
I mean, that's Matt LaFleur though. Get to the conference championship. Matt LaFleur's thinking like, I know how to get past this game. I got to figure out how to get past the conference championship game. Right. So you got a lot of storylines there, but
yeah,
that's, I mean, the recipe to beat the 49ers is out there. Look at the Ravens game. Look at some of the games in that losing streak, but it'd be tough, man. On the flip side with the Lions,
yeah, I was going to say, open up the emotions. How are you feeling?
Yeah, just over the moon. I told my wife that I was gonna cry if they lost, and I ended up crying when they won. So that
Oh,
was
wow.
a
Real
flip the
tears.
script. Real tears, maybe not real tears, but tears of joy for sure, emotionally, figuratively, metaphysically. But not to take this podcast a whole other route, because if you know Brandon and Alex were listening to this, it'd be like, guys, what are we doing?
Move along.
Trying to lose any momentum that we've gained so far this season, but super excited, feeling really good about our matchup coming up. Another home game. Couldn't have scripted it any better. Was kind of hoping we get to go to Dallas and get some revenge shot at the Cowboys there, and maybe I would be there in person, but probably
Oh,
not gonna
yeah.
make the game
That would have been cool.
Detroit. Yeah, that would have been. Unless we want to just, you know, book some tickets to Detroit and
Hey, I got a place
go
you can
for it.
stay.
Hey, now we're talking. So, but super excited. And just to sum it up, that win means so much just because of the demons that they exercise with Matt Stafford and just the playoffs. And like that was all shaping up for the
Okay.
Rams to win that. So,
Okay. I agree. We do need to move on. But what is your stance on the booing as much as they did of Matt Stafford?
It's a head game, man. It's a head game. They love Matt. They love Matt. It's just one of those things where they love their Lions more. They're loyal to their Lions. They're loyal to their fan base. So you boo him to get in. I don't know that I agree with booing him on the field, booing him during the game, bring it on.
When
But
he runs out, yeah.
When he runs out. But I also don't think it's like petty or anything. I think it's just gamesmanship by the fans. And some,
yeah.
they're not actually mad at him. How can you be mad at him for leaving and going to win a Super Bowl? Like he gave everything he had, heart, mind, soul, body to the Lions for 12 years.
Yep.
And so you can't.
Literally tough as nails.
Yeah.
There's
Most quarterbacks in the
no.
game, in the wild card game, would have gone out. He was,
Right.
I think we might find out later, he was concussed. That hit was brutal.
Oh,
And
glazed over eyes and everything. The fingers were, you know, stiff. That was scary.
Okay. Well,
We
we'll
gotta
shift
move
a
on.
little bit. There's not a quick chance. Hey, that was only like 6 minutes. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, true, true.
Talking about playoffs, there is obviously you're watching it for football, and at this point, the competition is taken up a notch. A competition and game scripts and plays that you're maybe not going to see during the regular season, but there are tidbits that you can watch in the playoffs. And for example, you know, you made a move in our dynasty league to pick up Brevin Jordan. So just talk a little bit about some of those things, maybe as you're watching these playoff games that you're looking at, maybe for fantasy seasons beyond. Obviously, if you're in a dynasty league or maybe a keeper league, it's a little bit more incentivized, but just things that you can pick up, tidbits of knowledge that you as a football fan can learn from as a fantasy football fan.
Yeah, the Brevin Jordan move is different than the direction I'm about to take this, because I mean he had that
Fair
one
enough.
big game in the regular season, and then I think he actually only had one or two catches, but it was the
It was a
74
76
yard
yard, yeah,
touchdown.
74.
I dropped Trey Sermon, you know, I was like, you know, I feel like this has
Hey, Brevin Jordan's talented. Dalton Schultz 1 year deal. So
well, that honestly, that's why I was like, I'm going to go pick this guy up, see what happens, because he looks so athletic on that 74-yard run. I was like, they need to use him more. But and I'm very thin at tight end. So, you know, take a shot. But the biggest thing I would say that I was looking for heading into these playoffs is which trends continued. Who stayed consistent from what we saw in the regular season, which would be a pretty good telltale sign that they would continue it into next season most likely. And three names I'm looking at, all on different teams. You got Puka Nacua, just the surprise of the season, you know, maybe
rookie set a
beside
rookie record in that
yeah
game.
two oh yeah rookie record in this game, and then two regular season rookie records with
Right.
yards and receptions, just incredible season. And then you got his teammate Kyren Williams, who, you know, almost stole his thunder, but I would still say Puka had the crown there. But he continued.
Puka crown, Puka shell crown, Puka. Nah, okay, it's not
And,
there.
anyhow,
Continue.
he continued to be great in the wild card round. They lost, which so we won't get to see him anymore. But I think heading into the offseason, if you drafted Puka Nacua in a, you know, dynasty rookie draft, or, you know, picked him up halfway through the season, or it probably happened before the halfway point, but in a keeper league or something, you are very happy with having stock in him. And then another wide receiver, Rashee Rice, he looks to be the clear
eight for 148 and negative 48 degree weather, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Those are the numbers to it. But he looks to be outside of Travis Kelce, which, you know, Kelce might have
talking retirement. His brother's saying he's gonna retire.
Brother retired. Oh, he did. Did you see that? He officially retired.
Wait. Oh, well, we know that in the NFL, retirement's just an act until
an
you
asterisk.
Just don't actually show up for training camp.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, we don't
maybe
know how much
come,
longer.
Maybe they'll have time to come on our podcast now. If you go, you know, the Average Bros route.
Yeah. Here's the shout out to them. Got to get them on here. But you know, you got Travis Kelce falling in love. You know, maybe he wants to live that honeymoon life. So who knows how much longer he's going to be in the NFL? And you got Rashee Rice looking like already the top option, maybe some could argue. And then that should just continue on into the future. And then the last one is a little bit of a homer take, but Aaron Jones, yeah. He had his fourth straight game of
finally
100
healthy.
Plus yards. Finally healthy, says he feels the best that he has. He feels in his prime, which running backs don't last that long, and he's getting up there. But, you know, as long as he's saying it, I believe it. And yeah, he had his fourth straight 100 plus yard game. Was actually talking with you before the episode that it hasn't really produced crazy fantasy point numbers because he hasn't gotten in the end zone in the other games. Besides against the Cowboys, he had three big touchdowns. But still, you just love to see a running back rushing over 100 four straight games. So yeah. Like to think that could continue, could be a trend.
Yeah, I love
what
that.
Do you get?
Love that way of thinking. I'm gonna stick with probably some obvious ones as well. Maybe a little one off the wall, but I'll start with CJ Stroud. And really just the offensive playmakers in the Texans offense. I think they've got something going there. I know they've got something going there in Houston. I was high on CJ Stroud when he came out of the draft, but obviously I didn't expect him to be what he is already. Now, there's going to be some film that gets out on him and there's going to be some regression there, but the dude's talented and he's a top dynasty quarterback for the next, you know, probably 8 to 10 years. So if you've got CJ Stroud, you really need to be holding and waiting. If you can go get CJ Stroud for maybe like a first round and some change or something, because somebody just doesn't see the value, I would do that. I really do think he's going to be, he's just got all the mechanics and they're only going to build around him and get better. And I think D'Amico Ryans is a legit coach. So we saw what he did to the Browns were literally the best regular season defense of any defense. Obviously that's what best means, but they were top, they were the top defense from a statistical standpoint in the regular season. And he just absolutely dismantled them. Granted, the two back-to-back pick sixes
right.
by Flacco didn't help anything.
I was gonna
still
say their defense too. I mean, the Browns were a hot offense towards the end of the season, and yeah, they held
Texans
them.
All around. They looked good. I'm gonna stay at the quarterback position, and again, this is a little bit of low hanging fruit, but man, Josh Allen, what he did in that game against the Steelers and where they're trending, I think the Bills have a legit shot at winning the Super Bowl this year. And if that happens, and even if that doesn't happen, if they stumble against the Ravens, I think they beat the Chiefs this weekend pretty handily, honestly.
What if they won six in a row now?
Yeah, six in a row. If they somehow beat the Ravens, or even if they don't beat the Ravens, I mean, he was top quarterback this year, top quarterback last year, I believe. I'll check that real quick. But
I think he's QB1 last three of the last 4 years. Last year he was QB2.
2021, he was QB1. And then actually, sorry, my computer's not letting. But yeah, so QB1 and then QB2 and then QB1 again this last year. And so I just think you've got to view him as the top scoring option in fantasy football. So
are you drafting him in the first round and redraft this next year?
If I have a super flex, if it's super flex, he's definitely the number, the 101.
But
I don't
even
love
if you're sitting at
I don't
like
love quarterbacks.
The one, you know,
maybe
109
turn,
or 110.
I may take him at the 201.
The turn, yeah. If you
at
can
the turn,
get somebody else
probably
right
be the
after.
Earliest, I would take him. It's just so hard, man. Because if you look at, yeah, he scored 40 more points than, you know, Jalen Hurts did, who's number two quarterback. But even the delta there is just not as large as some of the guys. Like when you get to those next tiers, in running backs. Now, you know he's going to hit, but I mean, you're definitely not taking him over a Christian McCaffrey. You're definitely not taking him over CD Lamb or Tyreek Hill. I probably take Amon-Ra. I don't know. I mean, you could get there. I could see it. I'm not going to fault it. I mean, he put over 400 points up in
a lot
in PPR,
of points.
So.
Like, it doesn't matter what position
is
getting you those
argument.
Points.
There's an argument. You are getting those points. So, I don't know. And he, toward the end of the season, he got more careful with the ball. So, and he's built to last. So that's my second one there. And man, my third one, is just kind of a guy that, I mean, I'll go Homer too, right? So, just Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, he's probably
going
to be drafted.
Amon-Ra.
I mean, okay. He was the top three wide receiver in the NFL this year. I think he's great. I have him in Dynasty, and I'm pumped, and I'm not moving him for King's ransom. But Jahmyr Gibbs going into next year, I think that the sky's really the limit for him. I mean, he finished as a running back one this year, in the top 10 in
PPR.
Top
five next year?
I think he could crack that top five. You got to think about some of the guys that were injured. Of course, Breece Hall, I don't think he can take Christian McCaffrey out of there. And then you got the Travis Etienne's of the world. Bijan probably will if they fire Arthur Smith. They did fire Arthur Smith. So Bijan will probably be used.
Let's go.
Correctly. And then you've always got a factor on James Cook. But, I mean, he's up there. Kyren Williams. So I think he definitely could be. I think he's going to be top 10 again. I don't know where he's going to be drafted, but if you can – I mean, it's hard to talk about drafts right now in ADPs, but just the usage of him, you're probably going to be a little frustrated because it's going to be a little – he's going to have really big games, and he's going to have games that he gets, you know, 9 or 10, but he's going to have that PPR floor that's going to keep him okay. So in PPR, he's going to be really nice. So
absolutely.
Those are kind of the three guys that stood out to me. And just as you're watching the playoffs, just be looking at – some consistencies, like you said, what trends continued, what trends didn't continue, and some of the guys that emerge, some of these guys, like I know Gabe Davis was a guy that at the end in the playoffs, a lot of people got a lot of hype on, and it didn't really turn out because it was just such a small sample size. And now he's kind of that boomer bust guy. But in other cases, there's been guys that have really jumped off the page and kind of started to find their groove. I think Rashee Rice could be a really, really great one, like you mentioned, to keep an eye on, just kind of watch there. So that's kind of some things to keep you interested if you're a fantasy football player. Maybe don't have a team in the playoffs. Some of that stuff that you can watch, but don't get too carried away with it. Enjoy the football, enjoy the competition, and enjoy the story.
Unless it's on Peacock, don't give in. If we drive up the streaming viewership, then all we're ever going to know is streaming primetime games. No.
Hashtag boycott Peacock. We're going to get canceled now by Peacock because we have so much pull.
I don't think they're worried about us right now.
Two guys just talking late night by the fire. If you didn't know, Zoom has immersive views. So a little plug for Zoom stepping up their game just really changes the ambiance of the whole podcast. So
yeah, we're gonna have to get some video posted on YouTube someday of you know, us doing our podcast.
So you can throw up a,
we could do it right now.
Yeah, you can throw up something on that. I'm like, we're looking at each other and we're like almost like talking. It's like we're in the same room. Like, yeah.
Except you're looking the wrong way.
I'm looking the wrong way. On my screen it shows me.
This isn't good. Because I'm looking your way right now. Which way am I looking?
You're showing me. We're looking at each other on my screen.
Yeah, I'm looking at the back of your head. Uh-oh, that's something to figure out. There, yeah, now you're looking at me.
It's so strange.
Okay, now we're going to have to put the video out because there's going to be a minute of us just them having no idea what we're talking about.
Well, let's jump to some of the top eight stuff that we're going to talk about. So, like I said, you put out the post just talking about top eight players at each position and some of their ADPs. So let's start with the tight ends. We haven't given them a lot of love right now. I want to give them some time. So I'm just going to read off. This is PPR. We went back and forth. I'll give the disclaimer that, you know, some guys played week 18, some guys didn't. So you got to take some of that with a grain of salt. But ultimately, guys get injured all the time. So the best way to look at the full sample size is just to go ahead and look at the whole season. If you want to get specific, you could look at, you know, different weeks and Fantasy Pros. Shout out them is a great way to do that. But that full sample size is just kind of how we go about it and what we're talking about rankings. So this is full season PPR. You had Sam Laporta, who was the number one tight end, Evan Engram, Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, George Kittle, David Njoku was 6, Trey McBride was 7, and Cole Kmet was number 8. Just for kicks and giggles, you had Jake Ferguson and Dalton Schultz kind of right there, former teammates that were 9 and 10. But Justin, which tight ends were you kind of most surprised by? If you have access to some of that information, we can talk about the greatest ADP delta between, you know, where you think we saw the most value. Off the top of my head, I look at probably Sam Laporta was probably overall the best value, just where he was drafted, sometimes undrafted being number one. I will point out that he had 10 tight ends or 10 touchdowns. He is a tight end, had 10 touchdowns. So, he had 4 more touchdowns than any other tight end in the league. So it's kind of what shot his points up, of course. But the Lions love him on third down and a red zone. So I don't know how much regression you're going to see there, but definitely something to keep in mind. So, Justin, what were kind of your thoughts on the top 8 tight ends and what stood out to you?
Yeah. Real quick before talking about the top 8, I just want to point out kind of where maybe the fantasy community got it way wrong. We've got 5, 6, and 7, tight end 5, 6, and 7 ADP-wise, Darren Waller, Dallas Goedert, and Kyle Pitts. Now, Dallas Goedert kind of turned it on towards the end of the season, was getting used more in the Eagles offense, which, interestingly enough, that's when it went downhill. But, then, I mean, Darren Waller, he was injured a little bit, so I'll give him that, but a bust by, you know, pretty much all regard. And then Kyle Pitts stuck in that Atlanta offense. So you've got just in that top 10 ADP, 3 guys there. And then Mark Andrews was injured as well. He was tight end 2, but just some guys that didn't pan out. So, you know, I'm sorry if you drafted them where you did. But we'll jump back to the top 8. I just had to throw that in there. I think the guy that probably surprises me most is Evan Engram, finishing as the tight end 2. I think it was a very quiet tight end 2 season. Nobody expected him to really be top 5, I don't think. I think I'm safe saying that. But I just, it surprises me to see him finishing tight end 2. And if you include week 18, granted Travis Kelce didn't play, but he finished 11 points ahead of Travis Kelce. So, I mean, that's you know, that game difference right there. So even if you take that out, he's pretty much had the same season as Travis Kelce. So, and Kelce had a down year, so you got to take that into account. But Evan Engram really surprised, I think, everyone this season, finishing at tight end 2. And then David Njoku, love him because he helped me lock up that 101 pick in Dynasty going into the next season, because he balled out at the end of the season. I don't have the facts to back this up, but I would say he was for sure outside the top 10 going into the second half of the season. And then here he is, tops or tight end 6. So I don't know if they're bringing Joe Flacco back. Who knows what is going to happen there? He'll be a year older, so who knows if he'll be able to do what he just did. We saw with the Jets that he didn't pan out there before being with the Browns this year. But just something to keep an eye on. I mean, I have David Njoku, Dallas Goedert, who I talked about being kind of a disappointment, and Michael Mayer, a young rookie tight end. And I'm looking at David Njoku. I'm like, is that my tight end? And I try to trade Dallas Goedert, get some draft capital in Dynasty, and think that Njoku can carry me through another season. So he was a big surprise for me. Who do you have in mind?
Well, I will say something about David Njoku that I just don't know where I land on him is Deshaun Watson will be back next year, and he didn't use him as much as Joe Flacco did. So, but then again, you know, it could have also been a factor of Njoku had his burn incident at the beginning of the year and took a second to get going and things like that. So there's a couple factors there, but I am a little worried about that quarterback change. I mean, I talked about Sam Laporta though. I think just your Trey McBride and your Cole Kmet, we knew Trey McBride was talented, but when Zach Ertz went down, you know, he kind of went nuclear there and had over 100 targets. And then Cole Kmet, again, he had 6 touchdowns, was tied with the second most by a tight end this season as far as receptions. Taysom Hill, I'm just now looking, looks like he might have had a few more. He had four rushing touchdowns and two receiving. So, okay. So he had six as well. But he probably had a throwing one. Anyway, which,
when looking at ADP, Trey McBride was drafted as the tight end 32. So undrafted.
Ooh, yeah. That's tight end 32, not the
tight end 32. Pick. Overall, yeah, I lost him. Where'd he go? Overall, 274. So, I mean, yeah, that's undrafted for sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Cole Kmet, again, quarterback change situation. But Trey McBride, you feel really good about because Kyler Murray, they've kind of put their support behind him. And he was pretty talented at the end of the season. And they don't have a ton of pass catchers in Arizona. I mean, Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson.
He was a good red zone target at the end. And I mean, Hollywood, though, just they'd never had the connection, him and Kyler, that we thought we would. So I really like Trey. I like Trey McBride to finish as his top five tight end next year.
Yeah. So those two, talking about them in tandem, are interesting because they're both heavy favorites to land Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft. So what could that do to the pass catcher landscape? You already had DJ Moore.
Right.
And Hollywood Brown for most of the year in Arizona. So
you bring up a great point, though. You bring up a great point. We don't really know until the draft happens where things kind of land, but it's fun to think about and just, you know, look at some of that stuff. So pretty interesting. I think the tight end landscape was pretty diverse. So fun to look at. Well, let's kind of rattle off some wide receivers here. We haven't talked about a few of these names, but you had the number one overall wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb, who was the only other player in fantasy football other than Josh Allen in PPR to score over 400 points. Then you had Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra, Puka, A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, A.J. and D.J., Mike Evans and Keenan Allen, and then Stephon Diggs and Davante Adams rounded out the top. Obviously, Jamar Chase was hurt quite a bit and had some quarterback issues. Still came up with over 100 receptions at the wide receiver 11. I think I said tight end a second ago. But those eight, I think I'll just kind of keep it brief here. But obviously, Amon-Ra finishes as a wide receiver 3. Maybe not a shock to a Lions fan, but a shock to most. Just kind of him being able to go over 1,500 yards and have 10 touchdowns as well. He really upped his touchdown game, which allowed him to jump into that top 5 and ultimately finish his top 3. Tyreek Hill slowed down at the end of the year, but still an amazing year. I think probably the most surprising one is just that Mike Evans is still there. I mean, he had 13 touchdowns, which is why he was still there. But over 1,000 yards for the 10th straight season, you just kind of wonder when you just keep him until you get burned by him, kind of like a Derrick Henry for wide receivers or a Travis Kelce for tight ends.
With Keenan Allen. He was over 1,000 again, and he only played 13 games.
Yeah, Keenan Allen kind of hurts you at the end of the year. That you probably, when you look at both those, Mike Evans, you're like, okay, yeah, like he won me some fantasy championships. Whereas Keenan Allen, on the flip side, kind of got you on the front end, got you a good record, and then you probably, if you didn't trade him away at the right time, were upset with him.
Came back to bite you, which
is weird how fantasy works because he was still the wide receiver 8, you know. But
yeah,
he probably hadn't.
It's just crazy that those old dudes got it done yet again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wild. I mean, even both those at 7 and 8, Keenan Allen going to over 100 receptions. What's crazy to me is Mike Evans being the wide receiver 7 with 79 receptions. Like he is the
that
only
that is pretty incredible
in the top 11 and really 13 out of the 11 out of the top 13 wide receivers had DJ Moore had 96, so it was close, but 96 or more, and then Mike Evans had 79 and Nico Collins at 80. So it's just like, if you don't usually catch close to 100 balls, you're not going to be up there, but he's 79. I mean, that's his recipe for a while. But who stood out to you, Justin, on that list and kind of just kind of that top 8, and maybe who was the largest ADP delta? Because those are all, I guess it's Puka.
Puka, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mike Evans would be second there. He was taken as wide receiver 33 on average and finished obviously as 7. But yeah, Puka takes the cake for sure as far as ADP finish disparity. Someone I just real quick want to say is Tyreek Hill. Had that 2,000 yard watch after he claimed that this was the year that somebody does it, and he fell 200 yards short in the regular season. So obviously, when you're chasing after 2,000 yards and you are Tyreek Hill, you end up as the wide receiver 2. So another impressive season for him. I would say A guy that I'm surprised about is AJ Brown. And now I don't mean surprised to see him in this top eight. I'm surprised to see him finish at, we already talked about tight ends, wide receiver five. Mm-hmm. Because there was a stretch there. He set that record of six straight 100-yard games. And they weren't just barely eclipsing that. Mm-hmm. He had like 175, 137. And he had some touchdowns in there too. So you're sitting week eight. He's just come off back-to-back wide receiver two and wide receiver 3 weeks. You're like, this guy could be at least top three wide receiver. And then he ends at wide receiver five, which isn't a crazy miss. But mm-hmm. just thought we were going to see a lot more out of AJ Brown, the way it was shaping out. And then after the Eagles beat the Chiefs, they didn't remember how to win football games. So, that's not a huge surprise because, like I said, he's still five. But just what we thought it could have been,
though, because you see, obviously, CD's in kind of his own tier if you look at total fantasy points. Then you got Tyreek, and then Amon-Ra. But then you really start to see those numbers kind of dwindle, and you kind of thought, like you're saying, AJ Brown would have been up in the 300s to, 350 range with fantasy points, and he didn't even eclipse, he's just under 290. So see where you're going with that. But those names aren't as like eye poppy. I mean, Puka obviously, but it seems so
right.
I'm just like, oh yeah, Puka, because he was so relevant all year. Like,
because from the first week he had 20 targets for 15 catches.
It wasn't like he used a stretch. He was just so consistent all year. So it almost seems right that we see him up there. But let's jump to running backs, and then we'll do some quarterbacks before we get out of here. But Christian McCaffrey, if you look at if you take out week 18 and you go PPR, he was the top running back or top fantasy scorer of any position. So the value there, he scored in PPR over 100 more points than the running back two at 391. But he was then followed by Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, Rashad White, Raheem Mostert, Joe Mixon, Kyron Williams, and Derrick Henry. Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs were 9 and 10 as the two rookies right behind there. Man, I really think that we'll start with you this time. Just kind of the biggest surprises there, for you, and just kind of what you note from those top eight, and kind of what can be taken away maybe for next year.
Yeah, the obvious one is Puka's teammate, Kyron Williams. He is now known as Puka's teammate. No, he was drafted as the RB 69, so not. Went undrafted and finished as the RB7. Just incredible season. Came out of nowhere. But
for two teammates, I would need to look at the stats, obviously, but for two teammates to finish that high, you said, did you have what Puka was drafted wide receiver wise?
Yeah, he was drafted as the wide receiver 105, if that's even a thing.
Did I hear a page flip there? Do you have like a notebook?
Yeah, I got a notebook right here.
Look at you.
Got all the stats.
Old fashioned.
Yep.
So the highest improvement from 105 to 4 and from 69 to 7, like for teammates. That's why the Rams made the playoffs.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a rebuild year, for most pundits.
Well, they rebuilt, but they also...
They rebuilt just in the blink of an eye. Yep.
Rebuilt on the move.
Yeah.
So Kyron was somebody that stuck out for you. Who else?
Yeah, Kyron. But the one I really want to talk about is Raheem Mostert. He also was a big difference where he ended versus where he was drafted. Drafted as the RB47 and finished as the RB5. There's that. And then there's also... I think it was Braden and I who were pretty set on the fact that he wouldn't last the whole season. He was taking the league by storm, and we figured either Devon Achane would come back or and take over the throne in Miami, or Mostert would get hurt, which obviously we didn't wish that on him, but he stayed healthy and he got it done for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so surprised that the 31-year-old running back was able to do his thing all year long and finish as the RB5 with 267.7 fantasy points. So pretty impressive there.
Yeah, this was an interesting year for the running back. Rashad White, Raheem Mostert, Kyron Williams. Again, even Derrick Henry being in that top eight, there's half of them that you're just kind of like, huh?
Yeah, because for most of the season, it was Tajay Spears is taking over the backfield in Tennessee, and then he's running back eight. Ow.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you have the Alvin Kamara's that finishes 11, Saquon's down at 13. But really what's interesting is, if you really look, an injury played roles in this, but Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, Javonte Williams, who we thought would really spark at least toward the end of the year, Jonathan Taylor, Ramondre Stevenson. These are guys that are all falling not outside the top 12, not outside running back two, but out of the top 25 for the year. Just pretty wild stuff. Obviously, Nick Chubb gets hurt and goes out for the season, so you can't really, you know, that's a lost season there. But Dalvin Cook, even, I mean, we don't expect him to be anything, you know, world-changing, but, you know, running back 75, like, we weren't expecting him just to be dropped, you know?
Yeah.
Which, he's on the Ravens for the playoffs. That could be interesting.
The Ravens Ben's about to get a Super Bowl ring for not doing anything.
We'll see if he has anything left in the tank. That could be something to watch, speaking of playoffs. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think that's my takeaway of, like, the top eight was pretty odd. Joe Mixon kind of also probably not somebody I expected to, after some of the way the playoffs ended and some of the snaps he kind of gave to other players. But for those names that I mentioned to fall so far outside, obviously Jonathan Taylor held out, Josh Jacobs kind of in training camp, but it was odd. And Jonathan Taylor probably finishes top 20 at least if he doesn't get hurt at the end of the year still, because he was good for when he played. But
yeah,
it was an interesting year with the running backs. And so something to monitor going forward, especially, again, as the league changes with running backs, you know, how long is that shelf life going to be? And with those contracts, maybe we got something solved there with some of the things that got done, but still definitely a tough situation to monitor. And I'll just say, top tier wide receivers, way more valuable than top tier running backs in Dynasty. So that's one of my stats and thoughts. So
I have come to learn that. I did not know that over the last few years, but it's all coming to fruition now.
Yeah, you live and you learn. Well, let's get out of here with some quarterbacks. I know we talked pretty extensively about Josh Allen and the finishes there, but here's the top eight that were there. Was Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, there you go, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, and Patrick Mahomes. I'll go ahead and give Braden a shout-out. Brock Purdy, top six quarterback. Well done. You thought it. None of us else did. None of the rest of us did. And so, yeah, I mean, again, top four names there, you're probably like, yeah, that makes sense. Dak kind of jumping up there, a little bit of a shock, but... And you got Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, all in front of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's just kind of what? Head scratcher.
Right.
Good for Jared Goff. But I guess my question is, Jared Goff probably, I don't think I still see him as a top 10 quarterback.
He's my dynasty quarterback of the future, man. Trevor Lawrence didn't pan out. He's got to play for five more years at least.
By all means, man. Do what you will. But I guess my thought is, I mean, Jordan Love, I was having the conversation the other day. Man, if he goes into San Francisco and puts up some numbers, I'm looking, how can I acquire Jordan Love? Because, I mean, he finished top five, could be top five for a while. I mean, he's got the Aaron Rodgers moxie. He's got some rushing floor.
Some of the throws he's making, I'm like, that's only an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre throw. Like, this is our third Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm getting ahead of myself.
But yeah, I mean, there's some support to that. Went over 4,000 yards on the year, over 30 touchdowns. Like, was second in the league in touchdowns, passing touchdowns to Dak. I mean, it's just
wild.
It's pretty wild. On that. So Jordan Love by far and away. I know I stole your player there, so you can talk about Jared Goff nicely. But that for me was just unheard of, unreal, and still trying to figure out the whole take there.
Yeah. Before I take the low hanging fruit, just
left you quiet there for a second.
Yeah, I was like, I think he's silently kicking it to me, so I'll just talk.
Your turn, Justin.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson finished right at his ADP of QB4. He was the only person to be, or only player to be correctly drafted as far as ADP goes. And then the low-hanging fruit would be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think we thought for the next 6-7 years we were going to see him outside the top five. And here we are already. He was the quarterback 8. So just something to sift through. You know, thought the Andy Reid offense, and they even brought in Eric, I never know how to say his name, Bieniemy. And thought that was going to be, wait, no, they lost him.
No, yeah, they got rid of Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go. There's your answer. Bring him back. No. But yeah,
bring back Bieniemy.
Just what's happening with Mahomes? Is this, obviously we're not sounding the alarm saying he's going to be 8 or worse next year, but could he not be that locked in, you know, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts in the top 2 or 3 the next couple of years? So that was a big surprise. And then, yes, I'll talk nicely about Jared Goff. He was very impressive, had some very big games, very timely games for a lot of people this year, down the stretch of the season. So he's still kicking. I think he is showing everybody that maybe the Lions got the better side of the trade with the Rams, even though the Rams got a Super Bowl immediately, but long term.
And all the Rams flashed their Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
But yeah, long term maybe, and I don't know, you got to pay the guy, so that could be interesting. But yeah, going back to your Patrick Mahomes thing, I just, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, does he even crack the top five next year? I mean, I'm not saying he's going to finish outside the top 10. It's like a downturn for Patrick Mahomes, but just the way they're trying to have to structure that team, unless Rashee Rice becomes like this, you know, Tyreek Hill-esque kind of person again, and if Travis Kelce retires, you know, who do they have to replace him? It's interesting because, I mean, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, those guys are there to stay. And then you've got Dak, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. Like, any of those three jump him, he's all of a sudden the quarterback 5. So Patrick Mahomes being drafted as a quarterback 5, just the thought of that kind of blows my mind. And then you got CJ Stroud at 11, who I think will probably be drafted up
since
in
we
that.
Since we talked about going video for this episode, here we go.
And then Justin Herbert's down there. So video. There you go.
CJ Stroud jersey.
And Joe Burrow. I mean, there's this next year, Patrick Mahomes may not crack. I'm going to go ahead and be on record. This is an early, early, early bold prediction.
Oh, shoot.
But Patrick Mahomes will finish outside the top 5 again next year. I don't know how bold that is, but I feel very confident about that.
I consider it bold still.
So yeah. There's your first bold prediction of the 2024 fantasy football season. I think we're the podcast with the earliest bold prediction in bold prediction history. So
there we go.
We now have our claim to fame.
Yep. There it is. Because correct takes definitely isn't our claim to fame. No.
We have takes, but
yeah, bold
hot,
takes,
that's for sure.
My big take of the year that CJ Stroud would break the rookie passing record didn't pan out, but still had impressive rookie campaign. My last question on the quarterbacks for you is, with Jason Kelce retiring, he's no longer there to tackle his own players at the 1 yard line for Jalen Hurts, and possibly the tush push getting, believe I just called it that. It's the brotherly shove getting outlawed, or whatever, because it's a dangerous play. Supposedly, what happens to Jalen Hurts? He gets a lot of fantasy production from his rushing touchdowns. So I don't know.
Yeah,
saying outside the top 8, but I don't know if he's the QB2 again next year.
Yeah, he had 15 rushing touchdowns. That's a great point.
Gosh,
I don't know that you can. Of course, Josh Allen had 15 as well, but
runs 52 yards to get hit.
I think you can probably adapt it though to be something similar to the brotherly shove that's maybe not outlawed, but the Jason Kelce piece is the biggest thing. Like, no one else does it like him. So the Bills have kind of adapted to have the I was trying to think of a clever name for him always going to the left, but it's like the Dawkins dive or something, because they go behind Dawkins, the left guard, left tackle. That's interesting, man. It's going to be exciting. And the most exciting thing though right now is we could sit back and watch our teams hopefully perform this weekend. So looking forward to that. But any other final thoughts before we get out of here? We ended up talking just as much as Brandon and Alex do. So
yeah, you know, seriously.
We got some good.
We're like, maybe this will be a short 20-30 minute episode. No, I have no idea how long we've been, but longer than that. No, I don't really think I've got anything else to add. I will give it an all grit if you'll give it a go pack go on three.
All right, go pack go.
All grit. I don't know what else y'all say, but that's been y'all's thing this year.
One pride. So. I didn't even know that was a thing. I knew grit was, but anyway. Well, that's going to do it us here with the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't liked or subscribed to the podcast, make sure you do that before you leave the app that you're listening in, and make sure, make sure you follow us on at Average Pros FF on X and on Instagram. Until next time, we are the Average Pros / Bros. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on X and Instagram at Average Pros FF. That's at Average Pros FF. Production by Jonathan Raines. Editing by Justin Raines. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.